What if better sales wasn't just about harder hustling, but smarter enablement? Enablement made possible by technology. That's the conversation I'm excited to share with you today, because I'm going to be sitting down with the Chief Revenue Officer at a company called Mural. And many of you will know Mural as the visual collaboration platform, loved by creative teams. But what is even more fascinating is how it's powering sales organisations to work faster, align better, and ultimately win more deals. And at a time where we're talking about AI delivering on ROI and measurable differences, today's conversation is one that will tick those boxes. And my guest, Bill, he brings decades of experience from Salesforce and LinkedIn, and he's also passionate about shifting sales from siloed efforts to collaborative problem solving. But in our chat today, he will open up about the biggest obstacles facing modern sales strategies, how internal disconnects can quietly kill opportunities, and why training, tools, and timing, yep, the three T's, they remain the backbone of successful enablement. I will also try and bring all this to life with very real examples of this framework in action, and try and understand how AI is becoming a teammate rather than just a tool. But I warn you, Bill's energy is infectious. His insights are practical, and yet we even squeezed in a curveball question about marathon playlists and Cubs baseball. Intrigued? Well, if you've ever wondered how sales can evolve from firefighting to foresight, this episode should be a treat. But enough from me. Let's get Bill onto the podcast now. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so Bill Dwynan, Chief Revenue Officer at Mural. I joined Mural at the start of this year after 5 years at Salesforce and at LinkedIn prior. So I've really enjoyed being at a company where you can move a lot faster. I love being at the larger orgs, but really enjoying myself here at Mural. And as Chief Revenue Officer, I'm responsible for our revenue teams, customer success teams, enablement, and RevOps. So across all the different teams and just hyper-focused on closing out the year. I sent out a Slack message this morning. I can't believe we're closing out Q3. So the year is flying.
It really is. And for people listening all around the world, maybe the odd person that's hearing about Mural for the first time, it is a visual collaboration platform. But how would you describe it and what makes it different from other solutions out there?
Yeah, it's a great call out. And so, Mural, it's a very, we have a user base that just loves our product, which is so inspiring to see. I was just actually in London last week, and I spend a ton of time in front of customers. And what I love about it is they just, I say, hey, I'm Bill, and they interrupt me and they say, we love Mural and we couldn't live without it. And this is how we use it. And so I've been very fortunate to work at companies that have such a passionate user base, and Mural is just next level. And, the way you described it is really foundational. Mural is kind of, visual collaboration. Where we're trying to get to and working towards is being more focused on the role that plays on outcomes. So whether it's a team, one of our customers uses Mural for journey mapping, what's the journey you want to put your, users through. And we're seeing a lot of those same concepts move over to sales teams. How do you bring a more collaborative approach to sales processes? How do you insert more collaborative selling into some pretty broken sales motions? And so to help you with things like, deal velocity and customer retention and just overall satisfaction. And so really staying true to who we are in the visual collaboration space, but really focusing more on how do we leverage workflows and AI to help drive outcomes.
And I'm curious, you've just come back from London. When you're over there, did you see, you create some, when some, you have something like Mural, you've got an idea of how people are using it and what it's doing in the wild. But when you go and meet customers face-to-face, do some people use it differently in ways that maybe surprise you, maybe even ways that open your eyes up of different use cases and stuff? Does that ever happen?
Oh my gosh, it happens all the time. And that's why I love it. The favorite, you're not supposed to have favorites, right? Whether you're a parent or a CRO, but I will say that the most inspiring part of my job is being in the field with our sales teams and our customers. And so I'm feeling the energy, you know, as a remote company, I got to meet everyone on my second day at the company was at sales kickoff. So it was nice to meet you. I'm your new CRO. And I met like 200 people at once. And so it's been nice to kind of spend some time with people. And so seeing the passion of our employees, but then hearing the different use cases, you know, blow me away. And we were talking to a customer last week in London, and we really unpacked like, you know, we can move faster in Mural. Like, well, what does that mean? And then they really started to unpack it. And it turned into that it helps them stay relevant in the market they operate in. And so just really powerful use cases. And it's also a great question because what we've learned about the sales ICP was almost on accident. And so we started to see like, wow, there's all these sales users. We had no idea. And we went and investigated how sales teams were using it. And it was powerful. It was, you know, coming from a company that ran a pretty complex big deal motion, we saw that teams were bringing a more visual aspect to their large accounts. And so learning that use case really set us up for the journey we're on with bringing that power of visual collaboration and more collaboration to sales teams. So great question. And again, I come back from every meeting with a new learning.
And before talking about how Mural and indeed your technology and AI, et cetera, is helping sales team, as an ex-IT guy, I've got to look at the problem first. So what do you see are the biggest obstacles today for a successful sales strategy? What are you seeing out there? What are those big challenges?
Yeah, so overall, like moving away from just kind of tools and things like that, an overall sales strategy, I think there's like two or three key components. Like what I strive to do every day is just make sure I'm clear and concise with what we share. And so make sure that the strategy is clear as far as what people expect, but it really revolves around your customer. And so for us, everything we're doing, whether it's the way that our marketing team works, the way that our product team works, or the way that our sales teams work, it all at its foundation is how do we get closer to our customers? Whether it's being in the field more, whether it's the way in which we do account discovery, which I know brings up like enablement and sales training, and even the way in which our marketing team operates in the field. And then, of course, product. I think we've activated such a strong product feedback loop where like our teams are in front of customers and take that feedback back to product and our CPOs on calls. And so we are hyper-focused on everything we do revolves around us getting closer to our customer, whether it be in person, understanding their goals and priorities, and making sure what we ship and what we do is relevant for what the market needs today. Because as you know, what really drove the need for kind of stronger collaboration was there's this moment in time happened and the way that we work changed. And, you know, it all changed. So all of a sudden it was like, well, how do we collaborate better? But now it's a lot different. You know, now companies are trying to figure out like, what role does collaboration play in helping us solve challenges? And so the point of view around your solution has to move from, well, your teams can work better to we can actually solve for something. And so you can't do that without being close to your customers.
And again, to drill down on that problem, how do you see internal disconnect translating into missed opportunities in the sales funnel? Again, something we don't talk about enough, but we see it in every organization, right?
Yeah, I can. I think it's something that is becoming even more critical. And so I'll take a step back in my career. So I grew up at a company that you may or may not know of, your audience might not know of, but CareerBuilder.com was one of the first job boards. And it was a disruptor, right? I'm going to date myself a bit, but like I would be doing takeouts of newspaper advertising, right? Like where companies were investing in newspapers and you were trying to get them to come online, this thing called the internet, right? But the moral of the story is, you know, I grew up in a place where sales rigor was so critical and people are afraid of that word, but like doing deep discovery, being at the right levels, asking the hard questions. And so to bring it back to missed opportunities is we see it across two or three key areas, right? The first is if you're not aligned on overall account strategy or with the right people, you're going to miss out on things that are happening, right? So if over here, a CRO is like, we need to activate our big deal motion. We need to, you know, do X and Y to hit our revenue goals. But if you're not there, you're going to miss that. And so this whole idea of being closer to our customer is so we don't miss opportunities like that, right? So we're close to our customer so we can be a great partner and align to the three or four things they're trying to drive, because organizations are moving faster than ever. And so if you're not close to your customer, you're not at the right levels, you're going to miss out on being able to actually align to things strategically. Bringing it back to cross-functional teams, where teams kind of miss the mark is when product's not listening to the customer or marketing is not listening to the customer. And we don't have that. I think that was there early on, but we've brought in such a strong team. And it's not just that we're shipping faster or doing things faster, is we're doing it with this kind of bow of relevancy. And so what we bring to market is relevant. And so when you show up to a customer and say, look at all that we're building, they're not like, cool, we're going to go buy something else because it's not relevant. And so it all goes back to, like, if you're not close to your customer, whether it's product, sales, or marketing, you're going to miss out on opportunities or lose them, because it used to be like, show us your roadmap, show us your coolest feature. And now it's show us how you solve our problem. Because it used to be, when, especially when I was in Slack, it was like, show up the roadmap, here you go. And now it's like, yes, customers want to know what you're building and where you're investing. But the second part of it is, how does it help me achieve these top three goals? How does it help me stay relevant, move fast? How does it help me with X, Y, and Z? How does it help me secure more revenue? And so I think it's all of that combined.
And what would you say the connection is between sales training and sales and enablement? And also, how do you see technology almost bridging the gap here?
Yeah, the technology part's been amazing. I mean, I'm not great at this stat, but in theory, I think you get the point. It was something like, you know, ChatGPT had more users in one day than the internet had in 20 years. And so, you know, it took the internet 20 years to get as much adoption. And so technology and the pace, and, you know, if today, if you have a challenge, you look at it three ways of like, okay, so we need to upskill our sales teams on these three things. And you look at it and say, I think it's people, automation, and AI. So you look at that across. And so let me take a step back and first talk about the importance of training and enablement. And, you know, I think what I have seen over the last 4 or 5 years, even dating back to my time at LinkedIn, is that some of those kind of early foundational process parts have been lost. You know, empowering people to do great discovery, empowering people to break down accounts, empowering people to even, you know, negotiate. Like, you know, how do you negotiate properly? When I grew up in sales, I went through negotiation training, communication training, discovery training. And so, you know, it's kind of three-prong, right? It's training, enablement, execution. We were talking about that on the onset. And so sales training is such a key component to being successful. And it really is on some of those foundational skills of how do we go back to some of the basics with account planning, discovery. Where enablement comes in is how do we actually activate the teams on it? Like, we're rolling out Gong in the next 2 weeks because we think that would help with how we activate our teams. And so it really makes the enablement and training more relevant because we can spot the things that, you know, maybe aren't going as well as they should. And so AI and technology play a huge role, whether it's tools, whether it's, you know, great prompts to help people understand their accounts, but that synergy between training people on the right skills, activating them around it, being thoughtful around technology, and then using intelligence and what you can learn from platforms like Gong to make sure what you're doing with your sales teams are relevant.
And when I was doing a little research on you before you came on the podcast today, I also know that you're passionate about the three T's of better sales enablement: training, tools, and timing. So tell me more about that, the role of technology in all three of those, and how ultimately they help teams sell better. Because it plays a bit of a silent role, tech, sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone that knows me knows that I love to speak in threes. So someone taught me that, you know, 15 years ago, and it stuck with me. You know, it's you know, I talk a lot with prospecting. It's like persistence, relevance, and timing. Is you can't have one without the other. And so, I'll start with the last point. Like, the timing part is critical. And I think what happens a lot is the tools part doesn't meet the business where they are. And so the timing of it is twofold. It's like, does the tool, the technology, really meet you where you are in business? And is the timing there, like, where we've been thoughtful about, you know, I keep going back to Gong, not that I'm doing an infomercial on them, but it's like the most recent thing that we're doing, that it really centers on the fact of like, now is the right time to do it, because we actually are getting ready for Q4. We're getting ready for the start of the year. We want to be more intelligent. And so that's the way that I look at it. And then the training part is key. It's like, how do you actually look and say, we need to continue to train and develop our people and then have the right tools to do it. And I think the scary part today, Neil, I talk about this a lot, is I'd like to consider myself like a pretty sophisticated buyer. It's just confusing, right? There's like so much out there. I think what we've done a great job of, with the help of our CTO and systems team and chief customer officer, is really take a step back and say, what are we trying this all for? And so versus like, what tool do we need? And I think a lot of the tool sprawl or shelfware came from the fact of like, we just bought stuff. Like there was this new tool and we bought it. And so what we're trying to do is, okay, so we're trying to solve for this opportunity to upskill our reps. We're trying to solve for, really activating our reps to run a deal with no compelling event, which is a different muscle. And then it's, what are the tools do you need? How do you empower people? And so that's where we're being more thoughtful, because where you can mess up is just focusing on the tools. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, is like, when we have these conversations on what we're trying to solve for, it's people, processes, automation, and AI. Like, how do you actually look at that? It's no longer, like, we are putting something together for, I'll give you a great example. So we just did this great activation around the sales LOB, you know, how do we activate people on the sales line of business? And we gave people like, here are 5 great prompts to go learn what your companies care about, right? Now that's different. It used to be like, go jump on 10Ks or go, you know, jump on earnings call. And it's like, hey, what are the top 3 things company X's revenue leaders care about? Or what impact does, sales-led growth have on company X's bottom line? And so just empowering people that way drives so much more effectiveness, because what we're able to do is turn, like, so today we're not doing a lot of work in the sales ICP. We're doing some great work in pockets, but with 5 prompts, we've just turned our sales teams into experts. And so that's the biggest thing that I think has changed, because you can be someone who doesn't work here and put that prompt in and be like, oh, wow, they care about their new logo motion, or they care about, you know, selling multiple software products, and you can build a point of view around that.
I absolutely love that. What a great example. There's such a big focus on AI at the moment, and what ROI or what measurable difference is it making there? And how you, that example of those 5 prompts and the result that you've had of that is incredible. And, yeah. And to further bring it to life, are there any other examples of how your framework can work in action? Anything else you can share around that?
I think those are good examples. I mean, I think anyone out there listening, I think what I would say in this kind of ever evolving world that we're in today is like, what are you trying to solve for? You know, that's the biggest thing that I think we've evolved at, because I was a part of it and maybe even part of the problem, where it's like, let's go buy Gong, or let's go buy, you know, Pocus, or let's go buy this because our reps want it, or, you know, we need an SDR tool, let's go look at this. And it's like, let's take a step back and try to figure out what we're solving for. You know, what are we truly trying to solve for, and how do we create this best in class experience for our teams? And that will set you free. And I think the framework helps you really think about it. When you're like, okay, so now we know what we're solving for. So what are the, what's the training that we have to have? What are the tools, and when do we do it? And I think the challenge for a lot of people is, hey, I saw something, we have to fix it today. Where it's like, no, you have to be thoughtful around the timing in which you do things. Otherwise it's not going to land. Because I always try to put myself in the seat of a seller or an IC. And it's like the whole, when everything's important, nothing is. And so you have to be thoughtful around that as well.
And for anybody listening to our conversation today, maybe they've got those light bulb moments going off now as you're talking about the five prompts and different ways of doing things. How can teams of anybody listening put this framework into practice and start achieving their own targets? Any advice you can offer there and any mistakes they might be able to avoid as well?
Yeah, I think the mistakes to avoid, I mean, the framework is so helpful is that you kind of look at it and there's this great visual collaboration tool called Mural that you can use when you're actually thinking through it. So, you know, when I think about it, it's like, okay, great. So, hey, this is what we're trying to solve for, right? Or this is what we have to enable people around. How do we want to do it? What do we want to use? What's the timing of it? And the last thing that I'll say, and, you know, I have always tried to create kind of this inclusive culture. And inclusive to me means bring people along. And so I don't make any decisions in silos. And that's the biggest thing I can say. And so whether it's when we kind of regrouped on our overall sales enablement strategy, we pulled in marketing, we pulled in ICs, we pulled in leaders and said, what do we want to do? Because it's like anything else. It's like if product ships something without the feedback of their customer, it doesn't matter. If you build sales enablement without the feedback of your customer, it doesn't matter. And so just pull people along with you on the journey. And the last thing I'll say is just be very mindful around timing. Because if you don't do that right, it'll fall flat. And I think some of the mistakes that have been made, and I think like there's a big difference between, not to get all philosophical, but like mistakes and errors are different. Mistakes are, hey, we tried and we learned, right? And I think what happened is we just moved fast with a lot. Our leadership team is so passionate and we want nothing more than our teams to feel supported and be successful. And I think we may have moved too fast on things because you see the opportunity like, oh, we need this, we need that, we need automated SDRs, we need to enable on better discovery and negotiation and talking to sales leaders. And like, well, maybe we should just pick one and be great at it. Or one or two and be great at it. And so I don't think it was out of anything but excitement in wanting our teams to be successful. But, it's like a good rule of thumb in deals. You have to hear the same thing from two or three people for it to be true. And so I would really go out there and talk to people and make sure that like, if you have a point of view on sales enablement and what you think the field needs, go double and triple confirm it to kind of set you free.
And I think one of the problems that AI has highlighted in recent years is how traditionally departments have not only worked in silos, but they've protected their data, kept their data in silos. And of course, now we're now to unify data, unstructured data is no use. So how do you align sales enablement with that overall business strategy? Bring everyone together, take that step back.
I will say that was probably when we talked about the conversation, this was the question I was most excited about because I've been on both sides of it. I've been on the side where there was kind of a bit of a mismatch of it being kind of in silos, or it was like a point of view was formed on what the teams needed without talking to the actual teams. And so our strategy is so clear and, you know, we have kept it so simple and straightforward. And when we look at sales enablement, is the great teams are able to translate that into a plan. And so like for us, the example I keep coming back to is we are so focused on two or three key things, right? Number one is getting closer to our customer. And so sales enablement should be able to look at that and say, okay, let's activate around better discovery. Like let's train around that, you know, do enablement around that. And then same thing with breaking into the sales ICP. And so I learned early in my career, especially from Salesforce, is that the best sales leaders are the most annoying sales leaders because they say the same things all the time. And so I probably say we have to break into the sales ICP 35 times a week. And so if we don't have an enablement strategy around that, then we're missing the boat. And so I think the great teams are cohesive and everyone's kind of marching towards the same thing. And that starts with transparency from leadership. When there's mismatch, what happens is it's not just like, it's less about the content you can put out. It's more about the engagement level of your customer, which is the field. And so you might do this, like you might be high-fiving with the team. We did this great session on Let's say, finance people think about in the next, the finance ICP, we did this great session. It was awesome. The content was great. It looked pretty, but the sales team was like, I can't use any of this, or this does not help me. It's not going to help me if my main goals are to be in front of customers, drive pipeline and drive deals. If that doesn't help me, you're losing me. And so if you're not aligned to strategy, you lose your customer. And that's where this kind of fine line between training, enablement, and activation. And you and I had talked about, like, I'm in this kind of activation phase of, hey, when we do these sorts of things, how do you actually activate and pull it through? And so one session we just did with enablement was around the sales ICP. What the team did a great job of is, this is what we do next. This is what we're going to measure. This is how we're going to do it. And I think enablement team should always give gifts, right? Here are the gifts. Here are email templates. We worked with RevOps to get a great report of, the top 50 accounts that do this and that. And so we're kind of in this phase of like, hey, enablement, I think, is strong, but it's the pull through. And how do you kind of lead the teams a bit? Because it goes back to what I said, is like, people and teams operate better with clarity and direction. And so we're really big on the pull through, all tied to the strategy. And so when you have it, everyone's moving in the same direction. When you don't, you lose your customer, which is the field.
And now we've identified the problem and understand the bigger picture, I always think now is the best time to introduce a conversation around AI rather than at the beginning. So what is the role of AI tools in helping teams sell better ultimately?
Yeah, I think that, in one thing that I wanted to hit on, one more thing really, really quick, is that I know it sounds, Neil, you ever have one of those situations where you couldn't figure out why something wasn't working? And they're like, oh, wait, it wasn't plugged in. Like, there is like that, like, that's that, like, how you solve for that. I am a big component of bringing synchronous work back. And we use Mural a lot for surfacing action of like, we're on a meeting, here are the things we have to action. What happens a lot is, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, of like, every time I start a sentence with, hey, did you see that Slack post? I yell at myself. It's like the old days, like, hey, you see that email I sent you? And so really making sure we're bringing synchronous communication back. And so there's complete clarity in just making sure people are on the same page. I think what happens a lot in this, we're all back to back and we're moving fast. And we think if we put something in Slack, it's final, or in Teams or whatever tool that you use. It was like, over time, it was like the 50 person mass email. Yeah. Then it was like the Teams channel. Then it was the Slack channel. And so moving back to more synchronous comms where everyone walks away with clarity. And I'm a firm believer where with our cross-functional team, I subscribe to less is more. There's nothing worse than like an hour one-on-one. It's like, we can knock it out. Like, it, we should be talking like every week. Like, I love the formal catch-ups, but it's like, we should be in communication all the time about what we're doing. And so making sure that feedback loop is open, whether it's through synchronous communication, more alignment, being involved in each other's hiring processes, right? Things like that, of just how do you set yourself up for success? I think that's a big part of it. So now bringing it back to AI, I mean, oh my gosh, it's, I could probably spend an hour on this, but I'll keep it really simple and high level and give you a few examples, right? So when you take a step back and you think about the role that AI and agents can play, it really is in driving automation or removing a lot of the repetitive tasks, right? So, if I were to go back, I kind of sound like my dad that was like, I used to walk to school uphill both ways, right? Is when I would have to do account discovery, it would be, I have to jump on earnings calls. I have to jump on 10Ks. I have to, try to stalk Neil and see, not stalk literally, but like on the web and see what I can find about him. And now I can just jump into ChatGPT and do a prompt of like, what are the top three things company X cares about, public or private? Because the great news, because of podcasts and articles, is even with private companies, you can find what their leaders are talking about. And so I think the role AI plays in sales, number one, it really allows reps to just upskill fast or get up to speed fast and sound super intelligent, right? I joke with my team a lot about, I probably get like 30 or 40 emails a day of people trying to sell us stuff. but like no one says anything relevant about me or our company. And you're like, it's not that hard. Like, it's not hard to find that I ran marathons. I'm a Cubs fan. It's like, it's all there. It's all there and surfaced, or what Mural cares about, or what we're talking about. And so I think it really plays a role in the understanding you can develop of your customer. It also plays a role in how you can prepare for a meeting. And then what I think is really cool, like we've done some stuff where, you know, we took some of our use cases and we said, okay, how would you tie these use cases to company X's priorities? It was magic, Neil. It was like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. I can like call a CEO. I never would have thought of that. I never would have thought that we were helping a company become carbon neutral or playing a role in X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, at a high level in theory, it's like I could actually become more intelligent faster, freeing me up to do the things that AI can't do. Because what can't AI do, right? AI can't go meet with customers. AI can, but we don't want that yet. It can't represent you on a phone call. If one day I'm sure we'll have like bill bots that go on calls and have my voice and talk about sports and, you know, are very high energy and things like that. And so like we're very focused on what's the role that AI can play, and then what does that allow people to do? This whole concept of like augmented work of, you know, I would spend 8 to 10 hours a week doing account discovery as a rep, and now you can do it in 30 minutes. You know, like, hey, what are the top 5 questions you'd ask the sales leader? What are the top, you know, 8 things you would do this? And it also allows us to create consistency. And so, you know, as we want all of our teams breaking into sales, you're like, cool, here are the 5 prompts. We're all going to sound the same. And to me, that's not lazy. That's efficient, right? That's like, that's really driving efficiency. So that's like one part as far as across our sales and CS processes. When it comes to tools, I think where AI is really helping us is it's helping us surface actionable data. And so before, you used to have to go and do these like really deep dives on LinkedIn to see, let me go find people who used to work at a Mural-friendly company. We call them Trojan horses, right? You know, job changers and things like that. And now we use a tool that helps us surface that, where you can just pull a list of like, here are the 10 people within your book of business that used to work at a company that used Mural, and here's an email and what to say to them. And so it really kind of just helps with surfacing actionable information. On the flip side of that, I think I've seen other organizations, I'm not sure if you've seen some of the headlines of, you know, teams are growing weary about the AI, impact of AI, or because I think what happened, it was, we have to move fast. Here's 20 AI tools. You know, we have to move fast. We're going to use everything, where we're being super intentional around use it for this, use it for that. We bought this tool for this reason. And so I think the biggest thing is being intentional, whether it's sales process. What I'm really excited for is being able to look at some of the insights we're seeing from calls and how to synthesize that into real customer feedback. You know, what are our customers really saying about us? Like, I'm not going to listen to 50 hours of calls, but I can get summaries of like, hey, these are what your customers are saying. And so I'm super excited. I think we're in the early stages. Advice I would have to people is be intentional, be prescriptive, and be careful, because just because a company has .ai on their email domain, you know, doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's relevant. And so it's really easy to feel the need to meet, you know, you might be getting a lot of demand for AI. And last thing I'll say too is like, you know, we are power users of Mural, and the AI that we've built in Mural, and we have some large, really sophisticated Murals. Now I can jump in and summarize them. Now I can jump in and Mural can help me do that. And so even with the tools we use internally, we're seeing effectiveness. And so, as I mentioned, I can talk about this for hours, but we see it impacting the sales process. We see it impacting the data that our teams can have surfaced. And we just see it allowing our teams to spend more time on high payoff activities, whether that be in front of customers, doing deeper analytical work, and, you know, whether your customers are internal and external, that's what we see it doing.
Wow, so much food for thought there. And I think that is a powerful moment to end on. But before I do let you go, excuse me, But before I do let you go, as we're recording this on a big day in the World Series over there in the US, it seems only fair that I throw you a curveball to finish on. So because you're a marathon runner, you must have a music playlist or listen to audiobooks when you're training or racing. So we have a Spotify playlist and an Amazon wish list. I always ask my guests to leave either a song or a book that means something to them. So what would you like to leave and why? I don't mind which.
Oh, wow. So that was a great curveball. And yes, the Cubs are playing in a must-win game. I'm very glad the game is actually after hours. So I'm looking forward to actually watching it today. So yeah, great call out on the running. And so for me, I'm a 90s hip hop person. And so I want to try to recommend something with appropriate lyrics, which might be hard. So I will pivot to a song that kind of soothes me a bit, you know, because I get pretty fired up. So I would say Dave Matthews Band Number 41 is the one.
Awesome. I'm just making a note of that. I'll get that added as soon as we've finished today. I'm not sure I'm familiar with that particular track as well, so I'm going to be checking that out. And for everybody listening, just wanting to dig a little bit deeper on all things Mural and everything we talked about today, if they want to connect with you or your team, where should they go?
Yeah, so they can go to mural.co and interact with our AI chatbot, or actually reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, I'll have links to everything so people listening can find you nice and easy. We covered so much there, and a real treat for me. So a big shout out to the Cubs. Hope things go well today. And thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me, Neil. I appreciate it.
So here is the bigger question. How can your sales team stop moving fast just for the sake of it and instead move forward with purpose? Listening to Bill reminded me today that enablement isn't just about running training sessions or buying the latest shiny tech tool. It's about activation, clarity, timing, and aligning with strategy so that sales doesn't operate in a kind of vacuum, but instead connects directly to the outcomes that the business cares about most. And we heard today about those five simple AI prompts that can instantly transform reps into experts on their accounts. And also how surfacing actionable data makes every meeting sharper. And how Mural itself is being used to bring teams together around a shared visual plan. All of which, I think, is proof that when sales enablement is done right, it creates confidence, not confusion. So if you want to learn more, head over to mural.co or connect with Bill directly on LinkedIn. And for me, go to techtalksnetwork.com, LinkedIn, X, Instagram, just at Neil C. Hughes. And as I leave you and you head back into your own work week, ask yourself this. Are your teams really enabled to sell better? Or are they just busier? Yeah, that myth of being busy. Let me know your thoughts. We'll carry on this conversation. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.